Let's look to the Lord in prayer first. It's rather difficult to know what to say when one was asked to come up with words of encouragement as our closing remarks, as if it were. I was just thinking of this hymn as we began. It's a wonderful hymn. Perhaps even as a prayer, because many of us know that it's easy to encourage someone else. It's easy to tell others that there are miracles. But when circumstances of life comes to us, then we will say, we believe in miracles, but I'm not sure what happened to me. You know, have you ever gone through those feelings? Satan knows how to discourage our heart. We spoke of the faint-hearted in Hebrews chapter 12. You remember the phrase is about after faith. It says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. What do we have? His mind? Or in Hebrews there, it talks about how they feigned in the minds. And I often find that, you know, when someone has a physical problem, we see someone coming up with crutches, or as our brother mentioned, catch someone falling. Well, we know what to do. That's easy in a sense, although there's nothing we really can do. But yet, when someone is fainting in the mind, we don't recognize that, or at least perhaps I shouldn't use the word we so carefully. I don't recognize it. We come to a conference like this, everyone dressed well, they smile, we ask, how are you? The answer is, we are well. And we often miss that, don't we? And it does take special help from the Lord to recognize that some of us perhaps come with heavy burdens. And we need help. We're calling for help, but yet, well, we really don't want anyone to know that we need help. It's a difficult situation, isn't it? So this hymn was kind of nice. We sang this, Our Time's in Thine Hand. In fact, our time is short, so I'll just mention it briefly. If you look back in hymn 209, you'll find that the first stanza, really, look at the words, it speaks of dependence. Well, that's not a word we use much today. We're in a country that we're told you should be number one. You should look after yourself first. We don't need to depend on anyone. Well, the hymn writer said, Father, we wish them there. What do we wish? Into the Lord's hand. We're in dependence of him. Our life, our soul, our all we have entirely to thy care. Do we really believe in that? Now remember, you sang this hymn. And I trust that you mean what you read. Now, before I go on to the second stanza, I'll scare you. Let's look at the last stanza that we didn't sing. I'm afraid to sing that because I don't know if I can sing that truly from my heart. Our times are in thine hand. We always trust in thee. Oh, I have difficulty with that. Do I really? Can I truly say I always trust in him? Well, let's go back to the second stanza. Another word we don't use often. I believe that word is called submission. Well, I see many husbands here. We learned a word. We may look at our wives and say, you should be submissive. Well, we forget the other part, the duty that the husband should perform. But here, we need to be submissive to our Lord. We can say, our time's in thine hand, whatever they may be. Do we really believe in that? Pleasing or painful, dark or bright, as best may seem to thee. Do we really believe we should submit ourselves in our Lord? Now, it's not my thought to go through this hymn, but I would encourage you to read through that. The third stanza really speaks of confidence in the Lord. The fourth stanza speaks of protection we seek from the Lord. And the fifth stanza, we found sympathy from our Lord. And the last stanza, really, when we sing it, is we have the faith that we have in the Lord. With a few minutes left. Now, I trust that we were about 6-7 minutes behind. I'm not sure, does that mean I lost 6-7 minutes? or do we take the liberty to have 6-7 minutes longer? I'm not sure. I don't have a speech written now, so I have to go what the Lord may lead. I hope you would excuse me if I did go over a couple of minutes. I was on my heart when I came, and I was so glad. Phil made a comment that a lot of things that we took up is something he had on his heart. And I felt that. Now, of course, we exercise slightly differently than each other. I had that on my heart, the word, it's not a scriptural word, but the word we face, worries. I don't know how many of you can relate with me with that word, worries. We worry about a lot of things. I'm not going to ask a show of hand. I can already see the expressions on the faces, either eyes drop, face down, or various so-called body language tells me that many in this room have worries. I know as husbands we often get accused, and you don't worry about anything. Well, we have worries, don't we? So I was thinking of word certainties. Worries and certainties, neither one are from the scripture, but principles we find in scriptures. In business, they tell you, you need to be in control. How do you take control? Well, you list all the problems, things that you expect to happen, and you make sure you take care of things ahead of time. Because, as they say, there will be many unexpected events to happen during the course of whatever the plan is. And if we can take care of the expected, then obviously the unexpected is easier to take care of. So we find in our lives we worry about things, but yet there are many things to me, as a redeemed one, are certainties before God. And I know that from His Word. Now, let me begin with one. We know this verse, and we use it in gospel a lot. You can turn to it if you want, but I'm sure you know it as I say it. As it is appointed unto man once to die. Okay, I know it's not a gospel meeting, but what does that say? I see Brother Lemoyne Smith here. I say, Brother, you're going to die. I just don't know when. We know that. So here's one end of the spectrum. From the time we're born into this world, it is appointed unto man once to die. It's a fact, isn't it? It's a certainty. Let me go to the far spectrum. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there's one very short verse. In fact, let's turn to that, because when we turn to it and see it, we remember it more. Now, we read this chapter a lot, and I'm not sure how many notice this word. First Corinthians chapter 15, oh yes, verse 24. Then the end. It's like watching a short movie, isn't it? It is appointed unto man once to die. Then, by the way, I skipped the word cometh. If you notice, that's in italic. So, really, it emphasized the thought even more. Then cometh the end. These are two certainties we have, don't we? So we know that once we are born, it is appointed unto man once to die. Then the end. Now, we're not going to spend time on this. I know many of you know what this the end means. This is not the end of life. This is the beginning of God's time, isn't it? The end of time, the end of man, when Christ was subdue all things and he handed back to God the Father. And then we go into the eternal state. But that's two bookends, as if it were. So what are your worries? What do we worry about? Well, about death? I think many of us do. What if I die tomorrow? What if I got sick and died? Well, here's a verse we know well. I'm just going to quote them for brevity of time there. In Ephesians, we know the verse. It says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together by Christ. Oh, we cheated death as if it were. We have been redeemed. That's a certainty, isn't it? Do you believe that you have overcome the power of death, not death itself? So what's your worry? Here's another certainty that we have. We know it is by grace that we are saved. It's nothing to do with you. It is through faith and not of yourselves. Oh, so we have nothing to do with salvation, is there? That's a certainty. There are many things we really can't do or control. I look around. I have children. I have grandchildren. And then I look at myself and it said, my grandchildren didn't choose to be my grandchildren, did they? You didn't choose to have that lady to be your mother. We couldn't choose our parents, could we? Should be one less thing to worry about, because there are many things that we couldn't choose. It's beyond our control. Can you choose to be saved? We just talk about it. It's by grace that we are saved. You couldn't even choose how to get past the power of death. Can you choose where you will spend eternity? No. We don't even know what eternity looks like, but we're reminded that is where he is. That's good enough for us, isn't it? And this world talk about going to heaven. Well, how come the Word of God doesn't talk much about what heaven is like? Oh, it's not just a place. It's where he is. It's where he is. We want to be forever with the Lord. And did you choose to be the bride of Christ? Did you have a choice? No, he chose you. Certainties. Do you believe that in your hearts? Those are the certainties. So we find these two bookends with lots of things that could happen in between. And then we'll often quote, and I believe this verse was mentioned before, and we know that. Do we know this? Now keep in mind we say this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you believe that? That's a certainty, isn't it? It should be in our lives. We know. For we know that all things work together for good to them of God. To them who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28, we had the book of Romans before us quite a bit yesterday. And now the certainties in between these bookends. So what's your worries? Here's my theory, and I know it's not good to speculate a man's theory. This is what I have learned as we get to a certain age. If we sometimes use the phrase, we've been around the block a few times, and some of us are fast learners, some of us are slow learners, and we have to run around the block a number of times to learn something. Here's what I'm beginning to learn. None of you matters in my mind. It's me. Do you ever find that? What do we pray for? Oh, I'm sorry. We know how to pray carefully, use the right word. But deep down, are we really saying, Lord, what about me? I'm sick. I need help. Fix me. Oh, no, I'm not that selfish. My children, my family, my friends. Do we find that sometimes we're so me-centric? How often do we have in the prayer that we can say, Lord, it's not my will, but thine be done? We have children. How often do we say, our children say to us, we want this. And in their mind, it's the right thing to have. And as a parent, we will say, no, this is not good for you. Do we try to understand the Father's heart? Sometimes we think it's for the Lord. Look how dark this world is around us. Look how the Christian churches have degraded. Look at the other religions all coming in. Do we think that the Lord perhaps is blessing other country more? Do we look and say, look at our brethren in Brazil. Not only are the word of God being spread quickly and widely, and those many are gathered to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we only think of our own backyard? I leave that with you as a question, because we should believe that all things, whether we get what it is for me, whether what it is for you, God has a bigger picture and bigger purpose behind it. I was thinking of a brother, he's not here now, that gone into 2 Kings with a Shulamite woman. Not quite the way he was expressing it. I was thinking more, in this country, we feel we have two major issues. To sum it up, I call it health and wealth. Oh, we had before us, we didn't have time to go through it, how we asked the Lord to bless our spirit, soul, and body. We're in a country that knows the opposite. It's the body, soul, and spirit. My body has to come first. Look, I need to exercise. By the way, I don't. We say we need to exercise and build a body. Spend hours in the gym. Eat the right thing. Because the body has to come first. Because as they say, without the health, you can't enjoy the wealth. Those who worry about wealth have to work the extra time. At the end of the day, either way, do we have the Lord before us? Who provides the wealth? Who provide the health? We don't have time. Look in the book of Haggai. It's interesting. They had it good. And then the Lord said, it's time to build the Lord's house. And Haggai had to remind them, you're so busy working. You live in good houses, but it's not good enough. You're so busy working, you put money in a bag and didn't even realize there's a hole in the bag. The more you put in the bag, the more it comes out. Have we ever find that with our lives? That may not be a certainty, but we do know and believe that the Lord will provide. Do we believe that? In this country, we're too occupied. It's back to the me syndrome, the health and the wealth. We've got another problem. We won't have time to talk about all these problems, but these are just some. Perhaps I'm saying it to encourage you. As Americans, and I know as Canadians too, one of the problems we complain is we pay way too much taxes. Don't we? And the government we have is no good. You know, it's funny. I caught my father... a while ago, when you folks were having your trouble with your President Trump, and my father said to me, oh, I don't like that man. He was caught up with it. And I remember saying to him, I said, Dad, there's nothing you can do. He goes, what do you mean? I said, you're not American. You can't even vote. Not that he would. He goes, oh. I said, did you pray for him? Oh, he's a terrible man. Did you pray for him? Then he knew. I enjoy this thought. And again, we don't have time to turn to it. And I know you can find these verses. A brother expressed this in a conference not long ago. He said, it's very simple. Don't let that bother you. There are three things when it comes to government or taxes. He said, very simple. We pay, we pray, and we obey. Could you keep that in your own mind, in your own heart? We're not of this world that fadeth away. We have nothing to do. This is from the Word of God. We pay too much taxes. That's a good problem. You made too much money. You pay. We pray for the authorities. You'll find that in 1 Timothy 2, that we can have a peaceable life. And we obey. Now, of course, we'll always quantify that. We rather obey God than man. But those three principles are laid out for us from the Word of God. Now, we still have a couple of minutes. I'd like to turn to Jeremiah. Now, here's another thing, and you may say, you can chalk it off and say, this is your opinion. I'd like to share with you another thing. We worry about our children. Let me share this with you before I go into the verse. I remember when the children were younger. And here to encourage many of the young parents. I remember the day that the crying doesn't seem to stop. And I remember someone older would say, enjoy them now. They will be gone before you know it. In between those cries and tantrum, it's like, yeah, sure. Today we look back, we have an empty house. Those problems, looking back, didn't seem so bad. But back then, trust me on that, it was big. I remember going home that my wife would say, here, he's yours, and walk away. How big are problems? And I hear someone say, don't even raise children in this evil world. I just want to encourage parents. Jeremiah chapter 29. Now, Jeremiah, this portion is talking about submissions to the Word of God. It's a very interesting book to go through. And I think a brother back there yesterday mentioned the earlier portion of that. They were told that this terrible man named Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in, is going to overtake them and going to take them into captivities. Not for a year or two, but for 70 years. They will be captive. And they are told beforehand what they are to do in that land of captivities, which to me, I believe we can take that as an example for us in this land that is not ours, as we're ready to go to our Father's land. Let's just read a few verses. Verse 5. Now, you should really read the few chapters before and after to get a full connections for yourself. Verse 5. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminish. Wow. But they're going into a land of captivity. They're going to be slaves. God said, trust me, you need to continue on with life. You have to carry on with raising families. But I left the verse out. Oh, I shouldn't say that. I didn't read the next verse. And I believe this verse is what we have to take to heart. Verse 7. Seek the peace of the city whether I have caused you to be carried away captives. And here's the portion of my heart. And pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Are we like the captives in a land that is not like ours? I believe we are. Are we to shy away from what God has set us here in this land? No. There's a reason why the children of Israel were sent into captivities. And there are blessings that will come out from it afterwards. But while they're in captivities, they're told to stay, obey. In fact, there's a couple other passages in there. Tell them, don't run away. We see example of the false prophet to tell them to run away. And they were told, you flee because of sword, you're going to be killed by the sword. If you flee because of famine, you'll be killed by famine. And those came true, and you can see that in history. And I remember, as a side comment, a family very close to us, 20-some-odd years ago when we had that, one of the major division, they said, we know this is the right place to stay. But because of our children, there are very few left with children. We're going because of our children. Well, I don't want to say too much on that. Set results afterwards. So we are told, these are certainties that God has given us. Do we believe in that? Now, I won't have time to comment. What the other thing that was on my heart, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And I will have to run over a couple of minutes here, and I won't have much comments on it. The book of Ephesians is interesting. Sometimes, if you read from front to back, you don't always understand it. Sometimes it's good to go back a bit. We quote it from the second chapter, for by grace are ye saved. Well, I'm going to go backwards as if it were. Now, as many of you know, that verse 10, as many said, that's the key. That's the key to the whole Bible. So Let me start with the key first. He said that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Oh, that's going to happen. That's a certainty that God, the Lord himself, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, in that millennial time, he's going to gather up all. And then verse 11, it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of the glory who first trusted in God. Oh, that's a certainty. They're saying we should be the praise of his glory. But wait a minute. That's not us. It says we. The Apostle Paul used the word we, referring to we, the Jews. The Jewish nation. The Jews will be to the praise of his glory who trusted in God. That's a certainty. They're not forgotten, as we mentioned. But hold on, where are we? Next verse. In whom ye, you guys, well, I should say we, because I'm not a Jew neither, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard of the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And I go down. Wherefore, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We don't have time to go through that, but we too, as a certainty, to be the praise of his glory. You still need to worry? Now, I'm going to spend just a couple of minutes, I'll stop. Then he have his first prayer, we know that in the following verses, verse 7. And part of the prayer have a few questions in there. There's a lot more. Someone can comment on this. But I'm going to read verse 18. This is part of the apostles' prayer. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of... The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I should stop there. Well, what is it? Oh, I do want you, brethren, to be enlightened as God would want you to be. And many of you know that. And then think of this as three questions afterward, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. What is his hope of his calling? Second question or remark, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And the third thing, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Is it not more certainties that we have? In fact, our time is gone. I'll just tell you that there. He told us that already. If we want to know about the hope of our calling, read through it. He already told us in verses 8 to 18. And you'll see that in those previous verses, he told us, oh, all this thing that he has for us, that we didn't do anything, we didn't have a choice. He set those certainties out for us, that we were chosen before the foundation of this world, predestinated to sonship, to share his glory, to be his bride, and to be forever with the Lord. What more do we need? I just want to sing that, finish singing that hymn, 209. Let's just sing the last three verses. Verse 4, as we sing it, remember, it talks about protection we have from the Lord. Verse 5, he's a sympathizing Savior. Verse 6, the faith. Our times are in thy hand, Jesus.